request all of you to stay awake because we will now enter Krishna's sleeping chamber. This is all from the perspective of Indu Prabha Sakhi, who had returned from Nandagram to Radha, who was in deep samadhi about Krishna in Jatila's home. Just like Satyavrata Muni prays that he wants only Damodar to be manifest in his heart, Radha actually had laid down her lover on the bed of her mind in the golden home of her body behind the closed doors of her beautiful eyes. So Krishna is in her heart. That's why she has a very wonderful effulgence. So Indu Prabha brings now news about Krishna. That's what she says. Krishna's living quarters were located right next to Nanda Maharaj's. Krishna's rooms were pleasurable, attractive, and opulent, being made of gold and jewels. Krishna's bedroom and other rooms were in the center. Small gardens filled with trees, fresh creepers, and flowering bowers spread out on all sides. Lakes with jeweled banks sheltering sporting swans and warbling cuckoos, which were its crown and earrings, refreshed the entire atmosphere. So you can... In some paintings which I have seen, which were done on the basis of Govinda Lilamrita, which is one of the scriptures which is very frequently quoted, Nanda Maharaj's palace is in a quadrangular shape, yeah, which has a well-protected courtyard in the middle. So there is a kitchen in the right direction. I forgot where. The Vastuvalas will be able to tell us. And there are many things, treasuries and so on. Then there's Nanda Maharaj's apartment or quarters. And then just next to it is Krishna's quarter. And Krishna can step out from his quarters into a beautiful garden, actually a few gardens which are filled with nice trees, creepers, and flowering kunjas and lakes and so on. The gopis, sporting shimmering white silk saris, flower petal crowns, pearl armlets, and ivory earrings, were anointed with fragrant kumkum. So they have white silk saris. What does this tell you? It's full moon. Flower petal crowns, pearl armlets, and ivory earrings. See, everything is white. And their bodies are anointed with fragrant kumkum and sandalwood paste, which also looks whitish. They enhance the moonlight with the glitter of their teeth when they smiled. The gorgeous Raja gopis, anxious to relish pastimes with Krishna, waited in the garden to meet their lord under the brilliant moonlight of the pleasurable night. So you can see they are in the garden, but they are not distinguishable from the moonlight because they are all white also. They look like the rays of the moon. Some young obedient Sevadasis had already washed, dried and scented Krishna's bedroom with black aguru incense. So Krishna's room was freshly washed and nice fragrance was there. Krishna's bedroom with its decorations of perfumed garlands and jeweled pots topped with colorful flags was most pleasant to see. There were pleasurable objects carved from spotless ivory. And Krishna's golden bed was inlaid with jewels. It had posts made of moonstone. Also very whitish. Attractive pillows and soft sheets as white as milk foam lay on top. The bed appeared like a thousand drifting clouds when the moonlight shone through the latticed window. Beautiful green parrots perched in the corner of the room. Krishna, desirous of sleeping, entered the excellent, naturally attractive apartment, accompanied by many youthful male and female servants. So Krishna wants to go to his bedroom and he enters this most beautiful bedroom and he smiles by all the arrangements. This freshly washed, dried, nice fragrance. And wow, his bedding looks like clouds drifting in the window, in the thing. And then there's a very nice little scene. As Krishna smiles with happiness, the moonlight reflects from his teeth. I'm telling it always, but I like to tell it again. And the reflected light goes in beams through the room. Now the parrots, which are in one corner, we hear, they are perched, yeah, they're sticks, you know, where the parrots are, because somehow Krishna likes to sleep with parrots. I mean, parrots being present in the room. So the parrots see the moonlight, you know, the rays, and they come and they think, let us land on these moonlights, which look also like beams, the same beams on which we sit, but they are more interesting. So they land on these moon beams, but of course they can't find any hold there, so their bodies go down, and again they flutter up to try to sit again. And these little servant boys, which are very youthful, means very young, they're like little children. They see this and they laugh about the mistake of the parrots, who think they can sit on the moonbeams, and they laugh. Now Krishna is a little bit older, so he doesn't laugh about the same jokes which the servant boys laugh, because I don't know if you know, but older boys never laugh about the same jokes as younger boys. It's simply not done. It's a special psychological thing. I do remember I was so bad in school one time that and I didn't care, so the teacher threatened that I would have to repeat the third class, I remember. So I thought, well, no problem, maybe everything is easier if I repeat the third class, as we say in German, sitzen bleiben. I was not attached to be a good student at all. So then I went just for probe, to see how it would be for a day or so in the class of people who were one class younger. And when I saw about what they were laughing, I was a big boy. I was 1 year older. You know, I thought, I can't be with these people. I'm much more mature and more able to see the world. Then I wrote a few good notes, and then I didn't have to repeat the class. But it was my only motivation to not be with these young people. I don't know if you know, but there's a huge difference in the mind of these children. So Krishna didn't want to laugh when the young boys laughed. He just felt it wasn't for him to laugh, but the young boys were so sweet. They really laughed. Krishna, taking great pleasure in his devotees, also laughed with them. So this is very nice, the Lord who laughs. So we will now hear words from Krishna. Indupaba Saki joyfully announced, "Now, Radha, I will tell you something else." Krishna smiled as he reclined on a flower bed. We know why he smiled. That was one reason, but there must be many other reasons. So he reclines on a flower bed on the veranda, surrounded by his friends. So Krishna's outside. A nice moon of Vrindavan, cool breezes, and Krishna is lying in a bed of flowers. Listen to how Syama, who misses your presence, praised your sweet beauty. So now Radha is very interested. Wow, Krishna talks about me. So Krishna clutched Subala's hand and asked, "Oh Subala, tell me, even though I'm naturally powerful, what was that beauty that pervaded the whole meadow? I became bewildered and lost my patience when I went there today to tend the cows with you and the cowherd boys. My dearest friend, was that profuse beauty some nectar churned from the ocean of sweetness? Or was it a wave of lightning shining through her clothing? Or was it an appearance of the queen of the land of perfume? Or was it a cluster of Cupid's champaka flower arrows?" So Krishna has seen Radha from the distance, and he's wondering about her. Different guesses he has. "Oh Subala, how astonishing! Was it a blooming lotus anointed with saffron on top of a lustrous aura? was it a spotless full moon rising from the ocean of erotic mellows? O Shubhala, above that moon or lotus, were two restlessly dancing jeweled Kanjana birds, which beat my eyes with their tails, their glances. So Krishna is bewildered. Was that a blooming lotus with some saffron on top, which spread a lustrous aura? Or was it maybe the full moon, which had come out of the ocean of erotic rasas? Whatever it was, a moon or a lotus, it was beating my eyes. With two restlessly dancing jeweled Kanjana birds. Do you know what is the Kanjana bird? In German we would say die Bachstelze. These are small birds. You see them also here. And their tails are always... Isn't it like they move as fast with their tails as a little... squirrels, the chipmunks, who are never still. Have you noticed? They it's very amazing. It seems they have electricity in them. These chipmunks. You know, we are really asking ourselves, how can they always be moving so much? Have you noticed that? And they seem to be able to fly there so fast. So the Kanjana birds are all never still. So Radharani's eyes are like I described, to be moving so fast. And this is possible by the intoxication of loving mellows. That's why the eyes move so fast. So Krishna says, ha, 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 what was that wondrous thing? I became stunned with curiosity. Suddenly, that object was covered by a mass of dark clouds. A blue veil and disappeared behind the creepers. Whatever it was, a lotus with sandal or a moon, suddenly it disappeared between a blue veil. This is the mass of dark clouds. Then I could no longer relish it. Oh, Sakha! Even the slightest remembrance of it arouses loving feelings in me. Therefore, the paean means messenger of my heart, went searching for that object so that my eyes might see it again. Until now, that messenger has not returned. So Krishna has not gotten any information what that was. Did he become bound up in the forest by the henchmen of Cupid? Henchmen heißt Henker. So Krishna is very much bewildered by Srimati Radharani. As we had said yesterday, out of this natural bewilderment which Krishna feels, this natural attraction, Radharani derives the greatest of joy because she knows now from Indu Prabha that Krishna feels the same towards her as she feels towards him. That awakens her from her very sad mood of separation. Yeah. So we find in this work that a divine couple is now separated, and they feel great longing in their separation, and after some time they will meet in the forests of Vrindavan, but some obstacles need to be overcome before that. And what are these obstacles and how they are overcome? We will hear tomorrow. Actually, we should just go quickly through Radha's separation. No, actually, that we leave for tomorrow. Radha comes in and out of consciousness as she hears this. So her sakis make her stare into the night, the black night, and say, "See, there he is. Your blackish lover has arrived." That gives Radha some comfort. It's interesting that this discussion goes with Subal. Subal is one Sakha, one friend of Lord Krishna, who is privy to the meetings of Radha and Krishna. He knows about them, and Subal Sakha is he has a golden complexion, and if he dresses up in certain ways, his face looks very much like the face of Radharani. That's very important for certain pastimes. So Subal Sakha is one of the very dear servants, or very dear friends of Krishna, who knows about Radha and Krishna's meeting. And although he is personally not there for the very confidential loving meetings, but he is there sometimes acting as a messenger, and he knows a lot. Subal Sakha, we will hear more about him tomorrow. With this we will end our discussion, our reading. As you can see or hear in our literature, there is so much information for thinking of Krishna. And devotees who feel separated in this world from Krishna read these books. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that devotees who feel separated from Krishna in this world should read particularly the Krishna Bhavanamrita. You will see in this Guticha, in this guidebook which we are reading at the moment, the Krishna Bhavanamrita is very often quoted. I always think of Manili Maharaj gave a very nice example. He said, when we hear these pastimes, we hope that one day they will stick to us and we will become totally absorbed. And it is this absorption which all of us one day must have to return back to Krishna. Today I heard about one devotee whom we know, Gaura Hari. You remember Shabari? Shabari was in Ucha gown sweeping always. It's a Maharashtrian girl who...
her name was not Saki, something Saki.
She would call herself like this, but because she felt in her spiritual identity she is a Saki, but she introduced herself to me as Shabari, and I would always, she would always sweep, she would do Jaru Seva, and I would always call out to her, "Oh Shabari, Shabari, Jaru Seva." We would converse jokingly. She was very joyful, and we have a picture of her. So she left her body just very recently, and it was very interesting how she was committed to the hospital because of tuberculosis, which is a very dangerous thing, where a patient coughs blood, I think, in an advanced state. So she came out of the hospital and was totally emaciated, thin, and Tulsi met her and said, "You look so thin." "Yeah, I just come back out of the hospital." And then she brought Shabari in her room, in a little room, and she was nursing her, but Shabari had not told her what was the problem. So one day Tulsi took all the papers and went to the hospital and said, what did she have? And they said, TBC, tuberculosis. And now when the bridge busies heard that in Shiksoli, they said, you can't let her live here. I mean, she can infect the whole village. Mm-hmm. So usually such patients are brought out of the village so that the cows and the humans are not killed, you know. So Tulsi did not, went to Ramesh Baba and said to Ramesh Baba, "She has no shelter. She will just, they will put her in one straw hut, you know, outside on the fields, and she will just waste away and die very soon. Can you give her shelter?" And Ramesh Baba then gave her a room at the Parikram path. And there she stayed. And she would always have a picture of Krishna, which Tulsi had painted for her. And she would feed the painting of Krishna, thinking that Krishna needs something to eat. Then she said, she was very stubborn. She said, if you don't take the food from the plate and take everything away from the plate, you know, that I can see you have taken everything and eaten everything, I will not eat. She was very stubborn. So she for 1 month, she just cooked for Krishna but didn't eat anything. Only a little water and a little flour, and that was obviously not good for health, you know. Especially not in that state in which she was, just having been released from the hospital. So one day she was in a lecture, so she would all, everyone there says Jairati, Jairati, but she would never say Jairati. She would always say Krishna, Krishna, because she felt she is relating to Krishna. Stubborn. Like, you know, we know Shapari, she was, has a strong mind. But that was her. So one day she came to the lecture of Ramesh Baba, sat down a little bit before, and one sadhu came and said, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. She answered back, Radhe, Radhe. And at that moment, blood came out of her mouth. Ramesh Baba stepped into the to give his lecture, saw her, and she gave up her body. Now before that, she had said that she would, when Krishna, whom he considered, she considered something like her husband, when Krishna would find out that she would have died, he would also die. So the Brijbasi brought her to Vasana and made a pile of wood, and the wood burned. And then Tulsi said she went up from Rasmandi to Rasmandi, and she saw two piles of wood burning. She thought, am I bewildered? So she called other people, and they all saw two wood pyres of wood burning. Then Tulsi cried very much. We find this. Some devotees have such a relationship with Krishna that Krishna is ready to become their son in that relationship. And, you know, we hear this when one devotee died. No, one devotee married, and Krishna did not, married and had a son, but then the son died, and then the wife died, and the devotee just went to Krishna and said, Gopal, how can you do this? I mean, now I'm all alone. What will happen if I die? There will be no one who takes care of my funeral. And Krishna said, I'm your son, don't worry, I will take care. So in that Krishna is acting as a, even today, that Krishna deity acts as a son and dresses in white, that is mourning clothes. Mourning means lamentation clothes. On the death day of this devotee whose name is Govinda Ghosh. So it is unusual, and we are not in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We are not exactly, you know, we are not relating like this to Krishna and so on and so forth, but it's interesting to hear. So that Shabari left her body in very auspicious cases, and there was a Bhagavad Saptaha held in her honor, and Ramesh Baba said to all the other girls who lived there that this Shabari had attained a state of absorption which they would never attain in this life. So when I heard this, I mean, I hope that all of you can see why I'm telling this. I'm not commenting about Shabari's thoughts about Krishna. I think that's her own relationship in her own way, and as I know her, she was very fixed and very I mean, when she had a thing in her mind, my God, the whole creation had to bow down to Shabari. She was so strong-minded. There were small things where I just laughed and said, Shabari, you have to do what is in your mind. No one, not even God, will be able to tell you something else. And she would laugh, and we would joke like this. But you know, no matter how we think about her relationship to Krishna and her way of conducting her spiritual life, one thing shines supreme, that is her tremendous amount of absorption. And this tremendous this amount brought Ramesh Baba to say that the other girls don't have such a state, and they will not reach it in this life. So this absorption is also what Jiva Goswami describes. He says our mind should be like cloth which are held into a color and then totally absorb the color. Like you can see this cloth, this beautiful, beautiful red shutter has totally absorbed the color of dark red. So that is really the point of Krishna consciousness, this deep, deep absorption. Ha. I would even call it this almost mad absorption. You know, like we see from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from an external point of view, it was very, very intense. And scholars describe him who don't know how to deal with it, the electric madman of Bengal. You know. But this is how these scholars see things. They have no idea that spiritual life means to fall madly in love. This is something which I once asked Shabari, so what is your story? She said, I came to the Chopati temple, but then I wanted to stay in Braj, so I ran away, and my parents came 7 times to bring me out of Braj. Many times, finally they allowed me to stay, because I was always running back to Braj. And she would always do broom service, very simple service, and sadhus liked her because she was very joyful, very kind, but strong-minded. But, you know, that is only what we see from our perspective. She, for her glorious departure, she needed to be strong-minded. You know. So this absorption is something very, very nice. Gauranga Mahaprabhu promises that this absorption will come through chanting the holy name. This is the upaya, the main means. So let us have faith in Gauranga Mahaprabhu and tomorrow chant more.